Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's shutdown day 27. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are still going unpaid across the United States, and many are finding themselves unable to afford the basics. You're seeing it in your communities.
Hi, I am an active duty member of the Coast Guard.
Jennifer from Drain, Oregon.
Joe in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Carol from Washington.
We defend the coast of the United States.
If the shutdown continues through February, our government subsidies will not be available to us.
We respond to natural disasters, pollution events.
My grandson, who was in the Coast Guard, needed money for groceries. His parents had to send him money.
We risk our lives to save the lives of fishermen, mariners, and recreational boaters.
Gainfully employed federal workers having to line up at a food pantry? This is a disgrace.
Now we can add department store greeter, security guard, babysitter, and more to our resumes as we start to look for ways to meet our financial obligations. And finally, we can say that we take collections from the public to disperse to our own shipmates because there seems to be no end in sight.
But in communities across the country, neighbors are also banding together to provide everything from food to legal services for struggling federal workers.
We took an oath to keep people safe and to do our job. And if we're not going to be there to do it, who is?
Debbie Cherry is a transportation security officer from Phoenix. She's pregnant with twins, has two young children. And on Monday, she went to a mobile food bank that popped up outside of the airport where she works.
Well, it was around 11 in the morning on a winter's day in Phoenix, which is pretty sunny and warm, actually. It got really hot.
That's Casey Kuhn, a senior field correspondent with KJZZ in Phoenix.
You know, everyone was kind of frantically rushing around trying to get all the food packed in. Within an hour, I think they were already more than halfway through, and it was supposed to last for 4 hours. So clearly there was a need there, and it ended up, first people were walking up to the tables to grab their food, but it ended up becoming more of like a drive-through, and then that drive-through was like 20 cars deep. There are more than 900 TSA workers and federal employees that work at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport here in the valley. So St. Mary's Food Bank, which is the largest food bank in Phoenix, was able to create a mobile food pantry, kind of like a one-time food pantry at a site really close to the airport. So TSA officers could come over during their shift, after their shift, or before their shift, or even on an off day to pick up two bags of groceries and milk and eggs.
St. Mary's served 300 TSA workers on that Monday, and more are being served throughout the week.
They said that they've seen an increase of 200 people a day since the government shut down at their regular food bank locations. This was a, like I said, a mobile food pantry, so they brought 25,000 pounds worth of food to this area near the airport. That includes cereal, tinned chicken, it included fruit, bread, peanut butter, jelly, kind of stuff that families would use to make lunches for their kids. And then they also had the perishables like milk and eggs in the refrigerated truck.
And milk and eggs is behind
you. People were nice and made a lot of donations during that time.
Jerry Brown, a spokesman for St. Mary's, told Casey that the food bank does have a stockpile of donations from the holidays, but that stockpile can only last for so long.
This food normally lasts us in the food bank until March or April. We're using a lot of it now.
So they've been asking for cash donations because food donations from an individual don't go as far as cash donations for a food bank.
That need was on full display on Monday outside of Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport.
There were a lot of TSA workers who still had their uniforms on. Some were just getting off their shifts. There was two friends who had met while they were on the job at TSA at Phoenix Sky Harbor, and both of them had two children under 6 years old. One of them was pregnant with twins due in less than 2 months. There was a young 36-year-old Federal Aviation Administration engineer who was looking for other jobs because he hasn't had a paycheck in 3 weeks and has 4 kids to support. So a lot of families and the age range from the 30s to 60s and 70s year olds.
And many workers are also reluctant to open up about the pressures they're facing.
A lot of the people I talked to actually didn't really want to talk to media because I think it does feel a little bit like hurting your pride to go and take free food. But basically, they're saying that they're having to either dip into their savings to pay for things like the prenatal needs or just food on the table, borrowing from family members, borrowing on interest that they're going to have to repay later. So, I don't think anyone was necessarily preparing to not get paid for 3 weeks. So this is definitely stretching the budgets of most of the people I talk to.
It's just been stressful, kind of. And then when you got kids on top of it, the young kids, it's just been like a ball of anxiety, really.
Gabriella Coleman is a TSA officer at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. And her family, they still feel like they need to go into work, but they don't know if they're going to get back pay, for example. Well, they didn't know if they were or not. And even if someone says they are, they don't necessarily know if that's actually going to happen. Are they going to get paid for the sick days that they had to call off during the shutdown? The longer the shutdown goes on, the more people are worried, the more it stresses themselves and their budgets. So I think that definitely was a stressful time for them.
But Casey says the shutdown also seems to be bringing out the best in some people.
Something that I found really interesting and kind of heartening, at least, was 2 TSA officers came right off their 8-hour shifts to the food bank to actually pack up food for their colleagues. They said that they're like a family. So it definitely feels like everyone's trying to band together. There was TSA high-level management there handing out eggs to their workers. And actually, the food pantry is doing another one of these mobile one-time food pantries up near a hospital, where other workers have been having to still go into work because they're considered essential federal staff.
A little less than 1,000 miles away from Phoenix, San Antonio, Texas, is also feeling the weight of the government shutdown.
San Antonio is very much a blue-collar, paycheck-to-paycheck kind of town, always has been. We don't have a lot of Fortune 500 companies here, but it's a friendly, well-connected city. I think the median income is about $49,000. It's largely an Hispanic Latino town, but very much blue-collar. So this doesn't help matters when you have more people with bigger paychecks that can't spend any money on the local economy.
Brian Kirkpatrick is a reporter for KSTX in San Antonio. He says that there are all types of federal employees who live and work in the city that are affected by the shutdown.
A lot of it's law enforcement. Customs and Border Patrol is a big employer in South Texas. Of course, the TSA. Most of the military bases, anything under the Department of Defense is already funded, so they're not really affected. But, folks that rely on those bases are going to start feeling the pain, too, when those employees aren't spending their money. It's been very interesting. We had the San Antonio Food Bank tell us there's been a trickle of unpaid federal workers seeking food assistance, but not a lot. They do expect more people to ask shortly, and they're asking for donations. There's a local bakery here, Bakery Lorraine. It's offering free breakfast, coffee and pastry for each day of the shutdown for affected government workers. Also, a law firm is offering to do free wills, which is interesting. So it's been all kinds of things. Even the Texas Diaper Bank is collecting diapers on behalf of federal families that need those.
But like Casey Kuhn in Phoenix, Brian says he's also found that many federal employees don't want to talk about what they're going through.
I think there is somewhat of embarrassment, maybe a little bit. I think of some of these folks hope they want their jobs back soon. I'm not sure if they're worried that if they say something that might somehow jeopardize their return, or, if they've been told to refrain from comment. I'm not sure if there's, what the guidelines there are, if any, or, that it's just, I think it's strange how many of them are not speaking out more.
The impact of the shutdown isn't limited to the lower 48.
Sitka is on Baranof Island. It's a small island in southeast Alaska.
Catherine Rose is a reporter for KCAW in Sitka.
Here in Sitka, we have about 300 federal employees. That number varies somewhat because of seasonal employment, but we have a large Coast Guard base here in Sitka. Many of those people are furloughed right now. We have a number of Forest Service employees who are on furlough. And so I would say it's the third or fourth biggest employer in our town. People are struggling. You know, it is an expensive town to live in. Sitka's pretty far away from the lower 48. We have to barge in our food, and there's, you know, a price increase with all of that. Food is expensive in Alaska in general. And so rent is going up. Utilities are expensive. Living on an island is costly. So a lot of people do live paycheck to paycheck. That's what we've heard from a lot of people who are affected. They live paycheck to paycheck, and they are feeling the impact of this shutdown very strongly.
And on an Alaskan island that's just 1,600 square miles, there aren't a lot of options when the going gets tough.
We are so isolated. The economic opportunities in Sitka are pretty limited. You know, the Coast Guard is a huge employer. The Forest Service is a huge employer, and people don't have the opportunity to go anywhere else for work. They're looking at substituting at the schools. You know, the school always needs substitutes, supposedly. So, you know, people are trying to find ways to grapple with the shutdown. But because we are so isolated, there's nowhere to drive to find a, you know, part-time job to make it through this time period. I think that's for us, that really heightens the impact of the shutdown, the isolation.
But like in Phoenix and San Antonio, the community in Sitka is stepping up to meet the needs of the federal employees who live there.
The local tribal government, Sitka Tribe of Alaska, they opened up their food bank recently. It's usually only open to tribal citizens, but they opened it up to all furloughed employees. So they're asking for more donations because they know they're going to see an impact there on their food bank stock. Local churches are working directly with the Coast Guard. Local grocery stores, we have two grocery stores in Sitka. There's not a whole lot of competition, but they've both said they'll open up lines of credit to Coast Guard and other federal employees to help them during this time. But businesses are worried that their typical Coast Guard employees aren't going to be there, you know, drinking at their bar tonight or eating, ordering a pizza.
You know, my heart just went out to the families because it's, you know, Sitka's an expensive place to live, and so many people live paycheck to paycheck.
Even with worries about their bottom line, business owners like that person, Edith Johnson, are doing what they can to help people get by.
You know, while they will be getting paid eventually, I mean, it doesn't help with the situation now. They take care of us, so we're going to take care of them.
She is a chef here in Sitka and owns a restaurant, and she serves lunch specials and sandwiches. And she was the first person in Sitka to offer any kind of relief to furloughed employees. In December, she said she would give free lunches, free meals to anyone furloughed with an IOU they could pay her back whenever they got paid.
Those shutdown dispatches were from Catherine Rose, a reporter at KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, Brian Kirkpatrick, a reporter with KSTX in San Antonio, Texas, and Casey Kuhn, a senior field correspondent with KJZZ in Phoenix, Arizona. Our thanks to all of them for sharing the stories of their communities during the shutdown. And we still want to hear your stories from your community. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE and be part of The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, with print and marketing solutions for business, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, signage, and banners. More at Staples stores or staples.com.